Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
WICC Bridgeport, WEPE HD2 Westport, WPLR HD2 New Haven. Locally owned by Connoisseur Media, Southern Connecticut's news and information leader. WICC 600.
The NBA family lost one of its legends and great ambassadors today as Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna tragically died in a helicopter crash in Calabasas, California.
It was an announcement well before the NBA addressed it that shocked the nation to its core. 41-year-old Kobe Bryant passed away after a tragic helicopter crash in Calabasas, California. Officials this morning say foggy conditions and poor visibility were huge factors in why that helicopter went down. Seven other people were on board with Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna, and ESPN reported they were on their way to a travel basketball game for Gianna's team.
I can't imagine what his daughter's team is feeling right now. And those other players, just in the blink of an eye, they're at practice one day and the next they're gone. Like, I can't imagine what those girls are going through right now and how they work together to get through the rest of the season.
Falling in love with the game at the age of four, Laura DeCenza is a former high school and college basketball player. She now coaches varsity ball for Laurelton Hall in Milford. Years ago, she discovered Kobe Bryant.
I've been a Celtics fan since I was little. So for me, it was always like, oh, dang, Kobe. Like, you love to hate him, but you had to respect his game. I mean, it wasn't just go out and all shoot threes. A team player. It wasn't him all the time, which you don't see a lot at that level.
Despite not having him on her Boston team, she admired watching his game and applying those concepts to her strategies on the court.
I'm the tall girl. I was the big girl on the team. So what I really liked is seeing him interact with Shaq in those early years and seeing how, you know, the little guard on the court and the big guy on the court could work together and see that teamwork.
Kobe Bryant won 5 NBA championships, 2 Olympic gold medals. He was an 18-time All-Star and ranked number 4 for all-time regular season scoring. And while Bryant is remembered for breaking all those records and being such a standout player, DeCenza says it was also his efforts in being a trailblazer for the women who play basketball.
He really was one of the pioneers from the NBA and just someone with a platform to publicly speak out and through his actions promote the women's game. He would fly across country, and he came up to the UConn senior night last year with his daughter from California so she could be there and see what great basketball was in person. He had a show called Detail on ESPN where he would break down people's games and made a point to make sure that he was following WNBA athletes and college women's athletes. He spoke very publicly about the importance of young girls being able to see role models that look like that. From him publicly doing that, there's been a lot more outpour from current NBA players and retirees supporting whether it's their college's women's program or WNBA teams as they go through finals. And it makes a huge difference.
And Kobe Bryant leaves behind his wife Vanessa and his 3 other daughters, one of which hasn't even turned 1 until June of this year.
With us here on the telephone line is U.S. Senator Tony Wong. And Tony, of course, we always welcome you to the program. Thank you so much for being here with us this morning. Starting next week, we're expecting a session for policy issues. How likely is it, sir, that the tolls will be mentioned?
Well, there is a possibility, always the possibility of a special session. But it was a week ago when we talked about anticipation of a proposed bill with details. That has come and gone another week. We still have no details. And we're literally less than a week from session starting. And if we're going to jam a special session, it seems very tenuous to be able to get the bill, review it, and have a full vetting. So I'm very discouraged and frustrated. But ultimately, we will have to wait and see. What an emotionally shocking weekend, right? You know, Kobe's tragic loss. You know, the fear of the coronavirus and the mind-numbing impeachment process, it really does put it into perspective, the things that we do day in and day out. And to put it into perspective that, you know, we put 2 feet on the ground, we hug our loved ones, and we do the best we can. And that's how I approach what we do in legislative process. It can be emotional, it can be challenging, but at the end of the day, we are doing something that, for me, I love doing, and we put it into perspective which allows us to do our job. There's so many important issues.
Yeah, and I was going to say, some of the other items that lawmakers are going to tackle, Tony, include the budget deficit, health care insurance, affordable housing, marijuana legalization. Let's start with marijuana, just because that was a big headline last week. What can you tell us about that plan, and does it look like Connecticut is going to go forward with legalizing?
Well, the biggest argument has been just proposed by the governor is everybody else is doing it. Remember that phrase our parents teach us against doing is if New York's doing it, Massachusetts is doing it, why are we not doing it? And I suggest to the governor that we should take a step back. We should take a look at, obviously, we have done a yeoman's job in the legislature in past years in literally decriminalizing that and removing those people that have been incarcerated due to the onerous laws. But we haven't really discussed distribution, and we haven't really discussed the societal impact. And if you look at all the surrounding states that did that, they all did it through a public referendum in which the voters had a decision, not legislature. So I think we are still a long way, and a debate is necessary. But the idea that everybody else is doing it is something that we should refrain from and discuss what is in the best interest of the citizens of the state. So I'm welcoming that discussion, but nevertheless, if this is for revenue purposes, then we should really evaluate what the societal cost might be.
All right. We're speaking with U.S. Senator Tony Wong. Now, Bridgeport Mayor Joe Gannon was actually in Washington, D.C. last week tackling housing. Where does Connecticut fall short when it comes to options for people needing affordable housing?
Well, the housing issue is something that the governor also made an announcement yesterday in regards to our urban settings and rural as well as suburban settings. And it seems like we may have tales of three cities the way it's presented. But ultimately, as an individual that grew up in a housing project and found it to be an essential component to opportunities and foundation and safety, I think it's critical. But the issue has always been a balance between local control and the ability to be able to provide sustainable, quality, and healthy housing for communities. Look, there's a plethora of housing in our urban centers, but are they truly sustainable, livable standards? I'm not sure. But our suburbs need to do a far better job in regards to opening and collaborating and innovating ways to create housing for people of all economic backgrounds, social, religious, backgrounds to be able to participate in the richness of the community. So housing is a critical issue, and it's one that I'm very actively engaged on in trying to find solutions with all the shareholders being involved. It's a critical factor, and I'm excited and anxious to come up with new and innovative ways to help people be able to stay in our community, grow and thrive and succeed.
I agree. I think that affordable housing might be one of the biggest reasons that people just can't simply live here much longer, Senator Tony. I feel that there's a big reason that it's just very expensive to live in Connecticut, which is really no news there. But I think affordable housing is a huge thing to tackle. But then piggybacking that, what about business growth in our state? I mean, when you talk about some major corporations just in the last 2 years, but I, of course, immediately think back to the Malloy administration, you know, your GE, Aetna, leave Hartford. I mean, these were really big corporations making a lot of money for our economy. And of course, this kind of now falls on the governor's shoulders today. You know, how is he faring, would you say, tackling jobs and economic growth and what needs to be done at this point?
Well, it ties into housing. And I think the term affordable housing sometimes gives it and locks it into a corner. I'd look at housing from a standpoint of not only opportunities for everyone, but also workforce housing, being able to accommodate our empty nesters that are looking to transition to another mode of living. So housing is a critical part to a solution in regards to retaining our talent and helping create business success through supply of talent. But I think we do have to do a better job in looking at other business sectors. We have the advanced manufacturing, financial services, military contracting. Those have been basic staples of Connecticut's economic and insurance, another factor. But we have to maybe look at creating new sectors of business, biosciences, digital technology, software, cybersecurity. These are all potential business sectors in which Connecticut has the talent pool and the skills, but we've not yet really fully tapped it. But also we have to look at supporting our innovations in universities as well as vocational technical schools and be able to give people talent and retraining. One of the interesting parts is AARP started a program to be able to help our seniors to be able to retrain their skills and go into different areas in order to possibly start their second or third career. But it's all about jobs and businesses, and I think we need to focus more on that as well. And I think another factor we have to do is, you know, we always talk about whether it's marijuana, sports gambling, and all the other aspects that we talk about. It's all about generating more revenue. I think we have to look at reducing cost and increase efficiencies in government and really respect taxpayer dollars. We've not really focused on making those difficult decisions. I think it has to go in concert with us looking at new revenue solutions.
Only because you just mentioned it, and I know we ran out of time, but I do want to know, is sports gambling, is that going to get the okay in Connecticut? I mean, it seems like it's getting it all over the country, and I'm a little worried about that, but is that going to get approval, do you think?
Well, the United States Supreme Court opened the door for all of each individual states to make their determination. And you always hear about the riches of sports gambling into the state's coffers. We have three challenges in our state, in my mind. We have one in regards to sports gambling. The tribes and our unique compact gives them monopolistic control over all forms of gaming. Sports gambling may be another interpretation of it. So we have to work with the tribes before we enact any plan. The second part is the revenue generation and the concern in regards to distribution. Who will manage it? Is it the tribes? Is it the sports betting technologies? Is it the MGMs of the world? These are challenging questions that we have to look at constitutionally in protecting our state from liability. But again, I go back again. Everybody else is doing it. We have to do it. Have we not looked at the societal impact on those most vulnerable, most at risk, that may be susceptible to the addiction of gambling? We need to address those issues when we look at the possible riches of revenue that we look at these factors. But ultimately, you need to balance it with a societal responsibility of creating avenues for possible addiction and changes in people's lives for the worse, I think. And we've not really tackled that as well.
Tony, we've run out of time. We thank you so much for taking a few minutes. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, you got it.